Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. It baffles my mind, frustrates my heart, and makes me think bad thoughts, but we won't tell you what those bad thoughts are, at how many false preachers there are in the world today. Of course, Scripture warns of that. It warns about how the itching ears of the people will be leading their leaders and preachers to preach to them what they want to hear. They're not hard to spot. Those false preachers are pretty easy. On one side, the false preachers preach to you a gospel that says, if you believe enough and have enough faith, your life will be perfect. And Jesus will give you everything you want. Let me tell you, in that case, looking at my life, I've never believed in Jesus. Because the reality is, life is hard. It stinks. Sometimes it just plain sucks. Sorry, but it does. Right? And that's the reality. But those false preachers don't get the gospel. On the other side of the coin, you have these false preachers today that get up and they put fear into people. Fear that you're not doing enough good works. Fear that you are saved by the way you live your life. Fear at the end times when Jesus comes, because you have to look for that day of Jesus' return with fear and loathing, because it will be a day of great trial and tribulation and troubles, when in reality they don't understand the book of Revelation at all, because most of them are so uneducated they can't even understand the Bible, let alone know what the Greek and Hebrew actually say. False preachers are everywhere. And you can tell them because this is at the bottom of what they do. At the bottom of what they do is they create fear in you. And fear is from Satan. Fear is the opposite of love. And as you know, we've talked about this before, Scripture says God is what? Love. So anything or anyone who creates fear in your life is the work of the devil himself and Satan. So now, let's take a look at what the actual Word of God has to teach us for today. Ezekiel calls our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a shepherd. Traditionally and liturgically, this day in the church year, the last Sunday of the church year, is Good Shepherd Sunday. And Ezekiel lays out for us what this Good Shepherd does. Right? He lays out for what this Good Shepherd does. He says, he will find the lost and the broken. Does that sound like someone to be feared? That's what Jesus does, right? He comes into our world, and first and foremost, he looks for those who are lost, who don't know him. He looks for them, and he searches to the end of the world to find them, and he never gives up, which gives us comfort for those of our family and friends who don't believe. There's great comfort in that, in knowing that Jesus doesn't give up, but he finds the broken. I don't know about you, but I've been broken in my life more than once. I wish not more than once, but I sure have been broken before, and it hurts. It really hurts to be broken. It's not fun. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, whatever else you have in your life, the death of a loved one, whatever else you go through, and all those lists add up. Brokenness comes into everybody's life at one point or another. If you haven't been broken yet, you will, I promise you and guarantee you that. Because that's what Satan wants to happen, because he wants to tug you away from Jesus. But Jesus comes into this world to find those who are broken, to bind them up, to heal them, to restore and strengthen them through the power of his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, through the overwhelming grace and love he gives us through word and in sacrament. He will heal and mend the wounded and hurt. That goes along with finding the broken. Because when he finds them, he just doesn't leave them alone. He mends them. He mends them and puts them back together. He knits them back together piece by piece until we are restored in the confidence and the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the salvation which Jesus has won for us in his death and resurrection. He puts us back together so that we can live a life of hope, a life in the grace of Jesus, a life that gives him glory. He puts us back together. He will feed his sheep and keep them strong. We know this by the power of the word. We, as Lutherans, boldly proclaim the means of grace. There are two means of grace. Do you know what they are? Word and sacrament. Good job. The rest of you, I have a class for you. But anyways, we believe in the word and sacrament. In the word and the sacrament, Jesus nourishes and feeds us. Of course, in the word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, every time we hear it, he's feeding and strengthening our lives. That's why it's so crucial that we spend time in God's word every day, whether it's the portals of prayer or you read more, whatever. It's so crucial. As I tell you, I've said it before, you'll get tired of me saying it. Put a Bible next to your toilet. That's where you spend most of your time, and it's a good place to read. Jesus doesn't care. He made you the way you are. Sacrament. He feeds and nourishes us. In baptism, he calls us to be his own, and he sets his Spirit ablaze in our hearts and lives to draw us closer to him. And every time we receive the sacrament of the Lord's table, he is feeding and strengthening us with forgiveness and salvation and grace and mercy to keep us strong and rooted in him. He will perfect them from all, he will protect them from all harm and danger. He does, doesn't he? Is there anything that really can take us away from God? What does St. Paul say in Romans chapter 8? Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Satan will try to do that. He will try. All of us know that. We've all had the death of loved ones. We have illness. We have everything. You can make your list right now and read it and say, yep, this is where Satan's been at work in my life. But in reality, even though Satan's been at work in our lives, God says none of that will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even death itself will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gospel. That's what it means that Jesus came to die for us and rise for us, to live in us through word and sacrament. He protects us all the way. Nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Hard as hard the world will try and the prince of this world may try, we will not be plucked from the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the final day, he will know those who follow him, Ezekiel says, and they will find rest. He will know you because he will know your heart. He will know you because you've been baptized into his kingdom. He will know you because you are his child. He will know you because you are his child. You are heirs to the eternal kingdom of God, and everything that God has, every wealth that God has belongs to you because you're his child. He knows you by name. He knows your heart. He knows every hair on your head, and that doesn't, for me, that's pretty easy. He knows us, and he promises us that in the end time, when he returns, we will be welcomed into his kingdom with great love and grace. There's nothing to fear. A shepherd would never lead his flock into fear, would he? He's not a true shepherd. He would be a false shepherd, like those false preachers, because a real shepherd loves his flock and cares for them and leads them to green pastures and leads them beside still waters and leads them through the valley of the shadow of death into eternal life and glory forever with Jesus. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson for today, boldly preaches the resurrection and the power it has in our lives here and for eternity. This is what he says: the last enemy, the greatest, death has been destroyed. Now, contrary to what you hear by every denomination other than Lutheranism and Episcopalianism and Roman Catholicism about the end times, about being afraid because it's going to be a great trial and tribulation and scary time, this is the reality. Jesus says our last enemy, the enemy that we had to be afraid of, notice past tense, has been destroyed. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and leaving behind the empty tomb and in ascending into heaven, he says death no longer holds any power over us. That enemy which once sent us to hell now is an entrance into the kingdom of heaven eternally. Death now belongs into the kingdom of God as Jesus Christ saves us, as he saves us and makes the grave a place of sanctification so we may pass through that grave into our entrance and to his eternal heaven, our eternal home. And the comfort of that is knowing that even now he's preparing a mansion for us. Even now he's preparing a place for us to live. Does that sound like something to be afraid of on the last day when Jesus returns and we gather before him and he says to you, because he knows your heart, welcome home, good and faithful servant. It boggles my mind how many Christians today live in fear of Jesus, who live in fear of the one who came to save us and love us, because they totally miss the gospel because it isn't appropriately preached to them. Because the gospel is the message of love and salvation, and life, and forgiveness, and grace, and eternity. Now, admittedly, the gospel lesson for today can be quite misunderstood when it comes to the last times, but there is great comfort in these passages too. It can be a little misunderstanding when we come into the gospel lesson, and the gospel lesson says Jesus separated the sheep and the goats, and the sheep, he said, come on in, you've done good works, go to heaven. And to the goats, what does he say? You've not done good works, go to hell. That can be a little confusing unless we understand it in the true light of what Scripture's teaching. The first thing is, the comfort that comes in this is Jesus knows us by name. He knows us by name because of our baptism. He knows our hearts and our lives by virtue of baptism. So he's able to separate us and say to us, here, stand on my right, because you are my sheep. You belong to me. There is great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows us so intimately that on the last day when we stand before him with our failures, with our sins, because let's face it, we're still sinners in this world, but we're forgiven and redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood that he shed for us, even though we are still yet sinners, we will stand before him on that day and he will say, stand on my right, you are my sheep. I know you by name, and he will call you by name to stand there. To stand before him in great joy and triumph over death, over the grave, and over hell. He knows our hearts and therefore knows we are saved. That's the reality. He knows our hearts and therefore knows we are saved. Brothers and sisters, this is a crucial doctrine to understand. We are not saved by good works. We are not condemned by our bad works. Because Jesus knows our heart. It is in the heart where Jesus resides and faith is born and alive. And it is in the depth of our heart and soul that Jesus knows that we are his forever. I guarantee you today, if you were to drive out of this parking lot, get cut off, and use the Lord's name in vain and die, even though you sinned, you would still go to heaven because Jesus knows your heart. This is crucial for us to understand, especially when we talk about the end times. It is faith that saves us, not our good works, nor anything we leave out. By faith we are saved. While it appears that the sheep are saved by good works, it is quite the contrary. What Jesus is saying happens to be the great words of comfort to you and me. The great words of comfort that says to us, because you are mine, because you are saved, you have nothing to fear. Because you are mine, and because you are saved, you have nothing to fear. And because you are mine, and because you are saved, you lived in this world and you served me. Think about it for a second. Jesus, because we are saved, gives us the power of his Holy Spirit to serve him, to visit the sick and the hurt and the lonely, to go for those who are lost and hurt and broken. I am convinced that it's the love of Jesus that truly transforms our world. It's the love of Jesus that he puts in our heart that changes things. If you look at our world right now and the prejudice and the racism and everything that's going on, that is born out of fear, my brothers and sisters, which is proclaimed by false preachers and false prophets. Because fear leads to prejudice and racism and hatred and bigotry and self-righteousness. It is when we know the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate that we are sinners who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, that we can truly love everyone around us with their faults, their brokenness, their hurts, and how, no matter how different they are. Because we come to the realization that Jesus died for everybody. And how beautiful that message is. If he died for me, he died for you, he died for all. And the comfort in the passage for today is Jesus says, listen, because you knew me, you served everyone. Because you knew me, you took the time to spread the gospel. Because you knew me, you took the time to save the lost. It is through you and me that the lost, the wandering, and the broken are found and are healed. Let's face it. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave you and I both a charge, did he not? Go and make disciples. He left this thing called the church to you and me, which I laugh about all the time because we're sinners. But he trusted us. He trusted us with his kingdom on earth. And he said, I give you my kingdom on earth. And I give you my love and my grace and the power of my Holy Spirit so that you can go to the ends of the earth to find those who are sick and broken and to bind them up, to find those who are lost and to introduce them to me so that they too may be saved. And it's on that great and final day when we stand before Jesus, we will hear those words, welcome home, good and faithful servant. Not because of the work you have done, but because of your heart, because of the faith you had in me, that faith which led you to love others, to bind the broken and the wounded, and to seek and find the lost. Brothers and sisters, you have nothing to be afraid of. My hope is that every day you join with the prayer of Scripture in Revelation and with the church around the world in praying that Jesus returns soon. In my opinion, the sooner the better. Because on that great and final day, we have nothing but joy and jubilation and celebration to look forward to. Because we are baptized children of God, saved and redeemed. And He knows our hearts, and He knows our names, and we are His forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.